Oh, Ray Allen.
This is a good one. They did leave Kyrie off.
Well, they left both of them off.
They could have took that stupid Ralph Sampson shot off of there. Who's in control of this list?
What a shot. He was probably fouled, too.
That was probably the most clutch. They were down.
Mm-hmm.
Season was over.
Mm-hmm.
That probably was the number one clutch shot of all time.
The tape was out.
Yeah.
That Ray Allen shot, the tape was out.
Yeah, that's a good call. That probably is number one.
Devin Carter hit a clutch shot yesterday in the first quarter, and that was the end of the game for the Kings.
Damn, man, that boy Devin had everybody turned
so
up.
Excited.
I was like, let's go, Dev.
Them tiles was up.
Yeah, let's go, Dev. And everybody else outside of probably DeRozan just let him down after that point.
You see Shot a Man?
No, at the game.
Shot a Man walked over holding a Sacktown sports towel.
Yeah, I said, hold on, bro. I said, hold on, brother. Give him the stiff arm.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, hold on. It's Shot a Man. All right, it's all good. It's all good.
He came through our minor league system as well.
Man, boy, we're churning them out.
Feeder school for them.
We churning them out. Salute. Oh, it was hilarious when we saw our guy WCW yesterday. Oh, you should have seen him. Oh, he was in full boss mode. He couldn't laugh, have fun, or nothing. He was yelling at someone on the phone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was boss.
Yeah.
He was bossing up yesterday.
He was like John Cena just beating the Nexus all at once. Oh, it was terrific.
It was like Shawn Michaels when he was calling shots for the click, huh?
Oh, it was so good. It was so great. Okay, well, we've got a few. Jake Gayden's going to join us in 15 minutes. We're going to break before then to make sure Jake has time to cook, because Jake, I guess, has a funny moment from last night. I'm anxious to hear more about it. I heard a little bit about it on the Insiders earlier. But we are now at the portion of the show where the players are going to get eviscerated. Let's let Leezy cook, though, first here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916.
TC, not Leezy.
I said TC. I said Leezy, my bad. TC, 916-909-1320. What's happening, TC?
Hey, man, what's up with my two brothers? Actually, what's up with my three brothers? Jesse in the back. What's up, man?
We turned cut again. Today. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Hey, now, for real, listen. So before we get started, Scott Perry is solid, right? Let's not forget he was the reason Fox was here. Durant, Aaron Gordon, we can go with his track record, right? He was here for a couple months, but he worked good with Vladdy. But Vic got a respect for this dude to let him work his moves. And if anybody going to run moves and make trades, I trust him with his plug to make moves. As far as clarity, I don't want to hear about none of that clarity, bro. You on a trading block like everybody else. Just like the flea market, right? Everybody's on the table. But if you ask me today, TC, if you – listen, a gun in your head, bro, you only get a couple players, you bring it back, right? I know. Mm-hmm. Listen, my bad, D-Lo. That was the wrong term.
It's okay.
It's
okay.
Keep cooking, big dog. Keep cooking.
Listen, it's Keon, Jake, Nasty Boy, and Devin, and Monk. That's it. Other than that, everybody's like the flea market. Scott Perry, call all the teams together, and it's like a flea market. Who got the best deal? Who bidding on everybody? I'm selling everybody off at one time. Damar, Zach, Domas, the whole bench. Everybody's on a sale, bro, at one time, and get me guys in here that want to be here, that's not mentally soft, not physically soft, not none of that, bro. The guys I just said to stay here, I know that. Malik, what did he say? What was the first thing? You ain't got to worry about that. I'm all in. I'm here to stay. I need everybody who want to be here like that, bro. Other than that, get your ass out of here. I know I touched my bad.
Now do what I'm you going. Do. It be like that, TC.
I said loud on this show.
It be like that, TC. Today's the day.
TC selling off humans like I. Oh.
Well.
What did
they say? Yeah.
Well,
hey, put the Montes a bonus next to the elote at the flea market.
Okay. I'm just going to leave all. I got a lot of questions.
I like how TC has joined the movement of. Jonas Valanciunas' nickname being Nasty Boy.
Yeah, not even a JV, it's just Nasty Boy.
Nasty Boy. Everybody knew who he was talking about, too. Everybody knew who he was talking about.
I'm just trying to figure out, what does Scott Perry have to do with De'Aaron?
Scott Perry might have drafted De'Aaron. That year was De'Aaron's draft. George Hill, all that was De'Aaron's draft.
I think Scott Perry got here after. Maybe not. Okay,
well, the
all
free
right.
agency is July 1st, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, okay. Vladdy was still the GM, though, right? Vladdy was the GM.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we can give Scott Perry the credit for it. It's fine. I'm good with it.
Vladdy, he was the GM.
Either way, I give Scott Perry the credit for it. Yeah. Take away the one thing Vladdy did right. So Domas, there was a report from Sam a few weeks ago, months ago, maybe at this point, maybe around the De'Aaron Fox trade, that Domas wanted clarity on what the Sacramento Kings were doing.
To be fair, it was reported that he may want clarity in the offseason.
It was. It was 1,000% Domas' agent.
Yes, but what I'm saying, he may want is what
he said. Yeah, and that's fine. He said today he wants to know, like, what are we doing? He wants to meet with the new guys meaning Scott Perry, I assume, in the front office, and perhaps the coaching staff, who really knows how that's going to go. But he said he wanted to be in Sacramento. That's great. I want Domas in Sacramento, too. Here's the thing, though. Fam, you might not have a choice. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't care how much you hate Zach LaVine. For whatever reason, whatever your issue is with Zach LaVine, perfectly fine. You can have it. You listen to James Hamm and you regurgitate the stuff that he said in this untradeable contract. That's just fine. Tell me how tradable a guy is in the two of the biggest games of his career. He falls as flat as he did. You tell me how a player like Domantas Sabonis, who makes 43, 46, and $49 million.
Go ahead and round that up to 50 if you want.
The next 3 years. You tell me. Here, we could do an exercise. Because we got all damn day. Here, I'll put my feet up. Go ahead, everybody. Go to NBA.com. And you tell me what team gets in their little war room and says, gentlemen, you know what we need to win an NBA championship? We need Domantas Sabonis.
Get the best glue guy you could get.
I will hear all arguments. Name one team. Name one team. I could switch it up. Let's switch it up. Who says, no, I want Domantas Sabonis on this team at 43, 46, and $50 million, Jesse said, to round up over the next 3 years?
49.9.
Who? Name one. Not five. I'm going to go reverse LeBron. Not five. Not four. Not three, not two. Name one.
Everybody in here talking about the Warriors. Where's nobody?
Please. Please. Bro. Please. The Warriors? You don't think Steve Kerr will sit his ass on the bench for playing like he did last night? The Warriors?
Why are you going to pay
a
$45 to $50 million fourth option?
Nope.
And the other thing that, you know, I don't want to hear anymore about Domantas Sabonis is, you know, he's this great basketball player. You just need to put the right team around him. The great basketball players, the top of the top, they're what's there. And you do what you need to do for those guys, but it works because they're there. If you need, you and Kyle laid it out during the on the insiders, like, yeah, you know, you get Domas and you get a shot blocking five, you get a point guard, you get another guy that can score so he doesn't have to score all the time, and then you get another guy, you know, winged. We're putting together a whole damn roster of $30 million guys.
No,
paying him $45 million. Like, what if I got to do all that? Why am I paying you $45 million?
Let's vet through these. Our man Will Z says the Timberwolves? Question mark.
No.
Well, wait a minute. It's a good fit. I like it. Why does it work? Well, you got Naz Reid there. You got to move off Rudy Gobert. Let's do that. I'm sorry. Rudy Gobert in Sacramento? Let's make this make. Hey, I can take DeMontis Sabonis, pick him up, and plant him on any team in the league. Mm. That's not how the league works.
Right.
We need to. I said, who sits in the war room and says, let's execute a trade to acquire DeMontis Sabonis? I guess I should have been clear that the Kings go, okay, we're going to do that.
Right.
Because that's the flip side of this. Rudy Gobert back in Sacramento. Only way it works. Because they sure as hell ain't trading Naz Reid.
Once again, that's how the NBA works. You've got to get $50 million worth of contracts. So you're going to give up good players. You're going to give up good players.
Or really, really bad contracts. In 2 years, Domas going to be the Kings' best player. Mm. Not because of what he's doing on the floor, because he's got $50 million and there's going to be someone somewhere who's like, I got to get under the cap. You do. I got the perfect guy for you. $50 million off your books, and you got a couple young brothers over there I like. You got a sharpshooter I like. You got something that I like. I can get you that $50 million, though. That apron's beating your ass, ain't it? Mm. Yeah, I got you. Mm. Oh, you got a disgruntled start? It's all good. I got you. That's where Scott Perry can navigate. Mm-hmm. That's where Scott Perry – but the clarity – okay, stop. We have to break. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We're back on track. We have to break. The reason we have to break is because Jake Gaden is on with us next. So Jake Gaden will join us. He'll give us a firsthand account of what went on in the locker room last night when Monty McNair was fired. So that's coming up here. When the Kings and Monty McNair parted ways.
Yeah.
CeeLo and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, our man Jake Gaden is here. Boy, Jake, we got a lot to talk about. Of course, Jake fresh off the exit day interviews, press conferences that took place over at the Golden 1 Center. But let's start with last night. Jake Gaden roaming around. We got the setup earlier. You and Casey in the tunnel with Lania. And, hey, Jake, I think it's going to happen, man. I think it's going to happen tomorrow. And Jake, you think? And then you guys part ways. And Jake, what happens after that?
After that, we go into the locker room to get some post-game interviews. We're getting prepared to talk to Domas and JV, who are getting on their clothes. Same thing with Zach LaVine and Devin Carter. Next thing I know, I turn down and Sam, our good friend of the program, Sam Amick, tweets out saying that the Kings have parted ways, mutually parted ways, very important, mutually parted ways with Monty McNair, the general manager. I say that out loud, and I swear to God, I have never – it's a moment that I don't think I'll ever forget where, like, Zach, Devin, JV, and Domas turn to me like, no, you're joking. Like, no, no way. Like, nah, that no shot. Show them the tweet, and all of them are like, in shock. LaVine turns to me and says, dude, he was here 15 minutes ago telling us, like, congratulations on a great season. I look forward to, you know, improving the roster and making this thing.
So lying to them. He was in there 15 minutes just lying to them.
Yeah, basically. Basically.
I look forward to improving the roster.
Well,
okay.
Well, look, here, I told Jake, too, this is why they got their ass beat yesterday. Their awareness is on zero. How are you so shocked by that?
Yeah, right. Like,
how are you shocked that this guy got fired?
When JV and Domas start talking Lithuanian, you're like, okay, some stuff's going down, all right? You're trying to figure it all out. Then a Kings coach comes down and says, hey, DC's having a team meeting up at Kings HQ upstairs and at the Golden 1 Center. Everyone needs to just throw something on, some clothes, and JV and Domas are just throwing stuff on. They haven't even dried off from their shower yet. Man, they closed the locker room, and the end of the Monty McNair era ended abruptly. And, you know, the roller coaster ride for this season is just, it's so on par for everything that the Kings have done this year. And it's even more on par that we already have a GM already in place less than 12 hours after the news and less than 3 hours after they officially sent the thing.
12 hours, my ass. They had this GM in place 12 minutes before the firing.
Well, we talked about this, though. We talked about this yesterday with Joe Dumars.
Yep.
We talk about this all the time. We joke about it with NBA signings.
Yep.
Like, and that's where people, you know, I will push back just a little bit when people are like, wow, do this without a search. Like, no, they've been looking for a GM for months.
Yeah, and I laid that out on the insiders. They knew what they wanted to do. This has been the plan, as you just said, for months.
To a certain degree, I'm not gonna say I respect because it's not in the respect, but I much rather not go through the charade of acting like you're looking for somebody when you already know Scott Perry's getting it. Give him the job. Let's get to work. Figure out what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, Jake, seemed like you were a little surprised that they did it last night. Is that accurate to say?
I don't like the timing. Like, okay, I think there's ways of going about parting ways or firing people, right? And again, this is the NBA. It's volatile. This is part of the business. But, like, the way they did Mike Dirty in terms of, you know, had a practice, had a press conference, driving to the airport, fired him on the way to the airport. Same thing with Monty. You know, he makes his rounds pregame, talking to everybody. The game ends, 20 minutes after the game ends, you fire him. Like, I understand, like, you had a plan, but there's a classier way of going about it, if you ask me, and waiting until this morning would probably have been the more accurate way of going about it. But this is what, you know, I guess what the news cycle is like now, where you get it out as quickly as you possibly can, and you make the announcement as quickly as you possibly can. I'm just not, you know, I just don't like how they do their business sometimes. I just don't. Like, I'm not saying that they're bad businessmen or women, but I just don't. Like, it rubs me the wrong way, the way they go about it. Like, yes, firings are never going to be good, but let's do it in a way that is maybe a little more conscientious and I don't know, more businesslike. Is that, like, make any sense? I don't know. Sure. I'm not perplexed by the move. I'm just perplexed about how they went about it.
That's completely understandable. I would just real quick want to ask both of you guys, if they would have lost by 5 last night, do you think the announcement is this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that was
the firing was happening.
Right.
Yes.
The nature in which Jake just laid out probably had a lot to do with what we saw on the floor.
And you should have seen Vivek and Anjali sitting courtside after the game. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. Vivek does this, like, his hands crossed between on his arms for the majority of the game, especially if they're losing. And that's, you know, not a crazy thing to see. But to see him and Anjali just sitting there, like, blank faces of, like, what just happened, what's going on. Like, you felt a certain way. Like, he was hot. Like, you could tell. Like, that it was just a different feeling that with the performance that they had last night.
I'm going to say something to the both of them. And I like Anjali a lot, and I think we consider her a friend. Mm-hmm. You two need to be more self-aware. Mm-hmm. Be more aware of stuff like that. You two need to be more aware of a lot of things. Right. Be more aware of that.
They always worried about, or Vivek is always worried about, having somebody next to him, you know, in basketball wise, mm-hmm. to, like, bounce ideas off of or double check how he feels. They need to hire a PR firm.
Right.
That's what they need.
They need Olivia Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they need.
That's what I need to look into.
Facts.
Should we do this right now? Don't make any moves until you talk to your PR manager and say, should we do this right now? Is this a good look?
Well, but don't sit on the floor. Don't sit on the floor like that, knowing, you know. Jake, you were there. You were in the same circles, vicinity. We're putting the simplest puzzle together ever. I don't know if these two, like, to me, Monty addressing the team doesn't fit the mutually agreed to part ways narrative. That's not, like, you would have went in there, yo, I'm proud of you fellas. You did a great job. My time is done. It's nothing ill. It's just, it's not really working. They have a plan. They're going to move forward. They're going to tell you all about it. But, or you just don't go in there. You don't have to address them at all. You just don't go in there. Right. So he was fired. And he knew he was being fired. Jake, you, like, we were, you knew. We all knew. It felt like we were hearing like rumblings, and it's like, oh, that's just chatter. And then it, and then now you realize it wasn't chatter. It was like, this is what's happening. Monty's getting fired. If things go ill tonight, Monty's getting fired, and they already have their if they don't have their hire, they're very close to having their number one target in place.
No, you're absolutely right.
And that's what
right.
It felt like.
But it's not surprising, though, because everything that this ownership group has done is reactionary. It's not based off of calculated moves. It's very much reactionary. Oh, this doesn't work. Get him out of here. Oh, this isn't working. Get him out of here. Oh, this is working. Let's keep this. Like, it is a very reactionary group in terms of not taking their feeling, putting their feelings into those moves. You know, sometimes in business, you know, if you're having a bad day, at least the way I learned how to deal with business, and I learned this from my father, which I'll give him full credit for this. When you get bad news, especially at work or in a business setting, you take that news, you internalize it for 24 hours so you don't make a poor decision and a poor reactionary decision, and then you reestablish it or re-talk about it the 24 hours afterwards so you can feel like you fully digested it and actually have an appropriate reaction to it. I don't think that the ownership group knows how to do that right now. I think they're purely reactionary, and you know, credit Vivek, he wants to win. Like, it's not like they don't want to win and make this work. But the way he goes about it, I don't know if he knows what
you
he's
don't
doing.
Get credit for wanting to win. Like, that needs to end.
That's the bare.
You think so?
No, you don't get credit for wanting to win. No one goes, you know what? You know what I want to do today, Jake? When I appear on Sports Sunday, I want to suck. That's what I want to do. I want to be awful. I want to be incoherent and make no point. When you ask me about the Kings firing Monty McNair for no reason whatsoever, I'm going to talk about Fruit Loops. Yeah, nobody does that. Like, sure. Yo, you buy a sports team, you take the KC takes the floor at a basketball game. You take the anchor desk at CBS 13. I said, we're going to win. Mm-hmm. Most people, especially successful people, approach with the idea of, I want to win. You do not get credit for that. You do not get credit for just wanting to win. And I'm not giving Vivek credit for that. I'm not giving anybody for credit for that. As Casey said, that's the bare minimum. That's tying your shoes each morning. That's all it is. That is all it is.
That's facts. And on top of that, and I know, look, I understand what people talk about, the process, all this other stuff. I'm not giving nobody no credit for processes either. You only get credit for W's and not L's. That's it. Because we could have the perfect progress or process in the world and everything. Oh, they did it right. They hired this person. They went through a search. They did it exactly how you want to. And Vivek moved out of the way, and this person was running things and everything. And if that person has a winning percentage of 353, he's not getting a contract extension. He's getting fired. Mm. And Vivek's getting blamed for hiring the wrong person. Just like, to be honest with you, if he went about it the wrong way and they get to an NBA Finals, I'm not going to, well, I don't like this NBA Finals because they did it the wrong way. Ah, to hell with that. At this point in this city, it's about wins and losses. Who's getting the wins? Who's getting the losses? Right now, Vivek and whoever he hires is getting loss after loss after loss after loss after loss. So they're doing a terrible job. Talking about Vivek, ownership, all this other stuff.
Do you think he's aware of that, though? Like, or do you think he consistently thinks it's someone else's issue?
Kenny laid it out earlier. I think everyone in the organization thinks it's someone else's issue.
Great.
I think everyone else in the organization believes that someone else failed them, and that's why they couldn't be good. And I think that goes for Vivek. I think it goes for the front office. I think it goes for Mike Brown and the coaching staff, and I think it goes for a lot of the players. Everybody had it went for De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox publicly blamed his teammates, or publicly said he they need something else on the podium of at a press conference once. Like, everybody there was in Casey has done a great job of laying this out multiple times this year. No one in this organization is taking accountability. Absolutely no one, and it continues today. No one's being held accountable for what happened last night. No one's being held accountable for the fact that this team had 48 wins a few years ago and looked to have a future ahead of them. Now they have 40 wins, and they look like the disaster that we are all so very, very familiar with. This right here, this moment that every Kings fan is experiencing, watching this show, listening on the radio, this is the most familiar feeling in the world. No matter your age, if you're a Kings fan, what you're experiencing today is the feeling you are most familiar with. Mm-hmm. When we said 2 years ago, enjoy this Beam Team year, it's never gonna feel like this again. We didn't realize it was never going to happen again. We just thought it was never going to be like this again.
Right.
Lo and behold.
Here we are.
Jake, you're kind of an outsider. Like, you're with us now for sure, but you are from the Northeast, and you know you've made your way around the world, and you've settled here in Sacramento as a part of this team. Like, what is your perception of this as someone who's been around other places before?
Straight dysfunction. From the top down. Yeah. And I think what you hit perfectly is accountability. And I don't see any accountability with anywhere within that organization. I think from an outside perspective, seeing how good organizations are run and being able to be around organizations like that. For example, I was there with the Denver Nuggets before everything kind of toppled over this past year of having a GM head coach relationship. Before Calvin Booth was the GM, and seeing how they build a roster and how you build a culture and how you put that whole thing together, man, that is a well-run organization. And then on top of that, you have a competent owner or a managing partner in Josh Kroenke that will come out and take ownership for when things are not doing well or not working out correctly and going about it in the right way. Seeing a team like the New York Yankees, for example, the highest class organization in baseball with the Dodgers and how they go about their business. It's not even comparable to what's happening here in Sacramento. It's like, now I understand why, you know, the phrase, the Kangs, and like, you know, the laughing stock of what Sacramento has been through the past two decades. Like, it all makes sense now. Like, you see it firsthand and you ask yourself, like, how the hell have you not learned anything from your past mistakes? You make the same mistake again, after again, after again. And I know this is being critical, but at the same point, you have paying customers that are coming to see your product on a consistent basis, and you're raising ticket prices for them to come see them, and you still make the same mistakes and don't learn from anything. So if from my outside perspective, to say that there's a massive amount of dysfunction, no accountability, no credibility, and there is truly no future right now. You know, it's the same thing that you guys were talking about a decade ago. You know, nothing's changed.
Here's the problem that I have, Jake, in that everything you said is correct, but here's the problem that I have. We laid it out earlier today. Damien laid it out earlier when he was breaking things down. Vivek Ranadive was not on the floor as Domas fumbled the ball around for damn near the entire second quarter. You know what I mean?
And the fourth.
He wasn't out there. But here's the problem. This is what I'm talking about when you talk about, like, true accountability. Nobody takes accountability anywhere in this organization. Because if things go wrong, you can always point back to Vivek. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve whatever. But Monty McNair, when you draft a Devin Carter who can't play for the majority of the season for a team that lacks depth, or you don't go out and get a Jake LaRavia-type player in the offseason so we don't have to have a six-man rotate. There's no accountability for that from him. Because when things go wrong, they'll be like, well, look, I didn't have no control. He was telling me what to do the whole time. No, bro, you didn't go do this. And that's the issue. Everybody that comes through here, comes through this city, comes through this organization, always has – they in their back pocket, they got, I'm going to blame Vivek and everything will be all right. Instead of being good at your job, Mike Brown, the whole thing with Mike Brown. Mike Brown, a good coach. He had his hands tied on a couple things. He was right on a couple things. He was dead wrong when he brought Chris Duarte in here to challenge Kevin Herter for some reason. But no, we don't never hear about that, right? We just hear about how he didn't have the ability to do things he wanted to do. We don't ever hear about that.
Accountability. Mike did bring accountability.
Not for himself. Why don't we ever talk about Chris Duarte? Why don't we ever talk? Why doesn't he ever mention, and he doesn't have to, but why doesn't he ever mention, damn, it looks like Keon probably should have played some more. He don't ever say that.
Not wrong.
It's, well, you know, I can't ever get anything right done right here in this organization. And it's a microcosm. Vivek does the same thing. Vivek are probably sitting there saying, it's not my fault. It's these guys that I hired. No, all you guys are wrong to some degree. But it's just a bunch of people pointing fingers at each other. And that's why nothing ever gets done. Nobody's sitting up there from the players, from the front office, from the ownership saying, man, I got to be better. It's always somebody else's fault.
I wonder how many people – I wonder, like, Vivek is the only one who doesn't have to wonder what his next job is. I feel like there's a certain point, Jake, when you get here and you start wondering, well, what is my next job? Because this is going a direction, or it's going to inevitably go in a direction, and I got to start thinking about what that's going to be. Mm-hmm. And that could – I mean, maybe that's Mike. Maybe it's Monty. I feel like I don't know, man. What you got? Any what stood out to you at exit interviews today, media sessions today? Anything? I know you asked Domas about, you know, clarity and all of that. Anything really stand out to you talking to these guys today?
There's two things. So one or three, four things. We'll go with four. First, we'll start with Domas. The biggest thing that they needed to add is a point guard. And I wanted to laugh at that because it's like, Domas, you had a point guard in De'Aaron and they traded him away. So, like, you know, and I don't know how much you were involved with that and that decision making and wanting to work with Malik Monk. But the fact that Domas literally said, we need to bring in a point guard and that needs to happen this offseason is very poignant and it's nothing new. We all know that. But like the fact that he actually said it and made it crystal clear that he wants a point guard. And he wants to be part of the decision making moving forward. If he is going to stay here in Sacramento, is very telling. I think it's something that, you know, Domas has gotten right now in terms of getting his head coach in Doug Christie, a guy that he likes working with. But you know, at the same time, he did get what he wanted this year. And it still didn't work. So how much does Domas's voice really affect what this organization does moving forward? The clarity part of it for him is very interesting. When you look at Debo,
can I just real quick,
yeah.
My brother in Christ, you will not be a part of the decision making when you can put the ball in the basket, not fumble it four straight times down the floor, hit an open three, score more than 13 points in a game at home that we lose and we go home. Then you could be a part of the decision making process. My brother, you have not earned that. I'm sorry, Jake.
And on top of that, he doesn't show up on the biggest games. That's the second year in a row been doing that. But, you know, that's Domas right now. Great regular season player, postseason, almost invisible.
Unfortunate.
And we've seen that for the past 3 years. Second thing is Debo with DeMar DeRozan. He keeps on saying how this is the most volatile season that he has experienced in his 16-year career and heading into 17 years. He's not going to hit year 17 next year. He's not going to be playing that much more. And if I had to guess, he probably has two or three more years or seasons left. If I had to read the tea leaves, and I think this is pretty accurate to say without a substantial reporting on it or anything on the record, I have a feeling that DeMar DeRozan will be moved this offseason, and it, not just because of the contract, but because Debo wants to win and he wants to win now. I would expect him to go to a organization or a team that is in a win now mode and is missing one more piece of a veteran player. And I think DeMar is that guy. As much as he is a great organizational piece and a great veteran in that locker room, I just don't see him staying here much longer. I don't see him staying here past this offseason just because of he's not a project. He's, you know, he's a veteran that has only a couple more years to play, and he wants to be able to compete in the playoffs and compete for a championship. And the fact that they didn't even do that in the 1 year that he was here, I think really does frustrate him. He has no regrets. It's a learning experience. And for what he's learned this year and how the Kings organization works, I think as a 17-year or 16-year veteran heading into the Hall of Fame one day, I don't think he wants anything to be a part of that. And that's just me reading the tea leaves right there. Another one, Keegan Murray. We asked him about, hey, you have an option to do a rookie extension this offseason. Have you thought about it? He's like, no, let my agent take care of it. I'll be honest with you, I'm working on my wedding plans for the summer. I said, okay, Keegan, go do you. I think Keegan also was very, very adamant saying, like, hey, I don't want to play the five anymore. If I could, I'd love to play the three, maybe stretch four when needed with a smaller lineup. But Keegan, I think, is much more comfortable in a wing position, especially in that small forward position. I think that's something that we have to look at heading into the offseason of getting a little more length and maybe pushing Keegan to that number three position. And the final one was just Zach LaVine and his future here. I asked him, hey, you have a player option for next season. Like, where do you stand about your future here in Sacramento? He's like, hey, I like Sacramento. I like being a place where I'm wanted. And the fact that they want me here is something that I really hold in high regard. But said, you know, he's not talking about an extension. He's not thinking about his player option. Right now he's going to go home to his wife and kids who he hasn't seen in 5 months in Newport, California, and then think about it from there. And the reason I bring up those four guys are those are the four main guys. Of course, Malik, as you guys have already talked about, has said, like, I ride and die with the city. I'm here. I'm all in. And I don't expect anything different from Malik.
Right.
But I'm also intrigued to see what his role turns into this offseason. He had four different roles this year, guys. And, like, I think – that messed up his game a little bit. I think if you take a blank slate and look at what Malik did, I know he's going to want to be the starting two guard next season, but I think he's the guy that comes off the bench and he needs to embrace, and someone needs to have a very tough conversation with him of like, you need to be the Lou Williams of the league. Be okay being a ridiculously good six man. And at the end of the day, it's more important if you close the game than start it. But those are my big takeaways. From media day today or exit interviews today, it was just the two words that kept on coming to me or kept on being repeated is clarity and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity of where the hell this season, where the hell is this organization going, and consistency of can we keep the same people here for the whole stinking season? Because the amount of times people rattled off losing Mike, losing Luke Laux, losing Wes Wilcox, now losing Monty McNair. And all the volatility that happened, like, people can't believe that this has been only one season. It's been five seasons in one.
Jake, we got to let you go. We'll see you Sunday. Before we do, your gut on Doug Christie.
He's the next head coach of the Sacramento Kings.
Okay. All right, we appreciate you, Jake. Great stuff. Breaking news to players. That's what he does. Jake Gaden, we'll see you Sunday night on Sports Sunday, my man.
Good night, guys. Have a great day.
Take care, Jake.
Jake Gaden. He's so used to saying good night. It's 1:43. Like, my man hasn't slept in God knows how many days. He's overworked. He's still just trying to wean off the March Madness stuff. Like, poor Jake. No clue what time it is. We'll come back. We've got much more to talk about. I still have my Mike Brown was right notes. Phone lines as well. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. 916-909-1320. Steelo and KC. I do want to bring some sound to you. Brian Windhorst has weighed in.
Oh, okay, Wendy.
See what he has to say. Steelo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. We knew someone was getting blocked today. We knew it. And it was Roger. Threw his ass out. Like it was the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And then as Drew Down said, danced on his grave too.
I'm just trying to you're just trying to figure out what's what sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And I think Vivek just does unnecessary, ridiculous stuff, meddling, all this other stuff. We talked about that earlier. But Jake had talked about how, like, you know, good organizations and good people who run businesses they like, you know, they don't react off emotion, and they take time to think about it. And I was trying to think, didn't they do that with the Mike Brown thing? I'm saying it's right. I'm just trying to rehash. It wasn't the story, and I thought
sleep
it was
on
in,
it.
Yeah, it was in. I thought it was in Amick and Slater's piece, but I can't find it. Maybe it was somewhere else. But it was like, hey, they decided to fire him that night. Vivek said, hey, let's sleep on it, and they, for whatever reason, they didn't have an 8 a.m. press conference. It happened in the afternoon,
right? Yeah.
And that's where the firing went. But I, but at the time, I'm sorry, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, at least what was written, what was told to Sam, whatever sources that he had told him, everybody was in agreement that that's what needed to happen. But now today,
well,
Malone wasn't in agreement with it.
Monty,
excuse
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
Monty McNair.
Michael probably wasn't either,
no,
but,
wasn't.
But Monty wasn't.
But Monty McNair wasn't in favor of it.
Yeah.
So I'm just like that's well, so I'm just trying to decipher.
Well, you can't, because the story on Mike Brown's firing keeps changing.
That's
like it the discussion on that story has not, the reporting on that story, it has not been consistent. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of Mike Brown's firing. Here it fits the it fits the Vivek Ranadive profile of, you know, as Jake was talking about it a minute ago, impatience. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of I just can't place where the where his fault lies. Like, is it being too impulsive? Is it not being impulsive enough? Like, I think back to our conversation when the, you know, the market died a couple days ago, and it's like, yeah, our financial person always said you haven't lost anything until you sell. That's when you've lost. And I think, God, does Sacramento just keep losing? Because he keeps selling. Mike can't play through problem. And he, you scored. I'm sorry. I'm taking a hard right here. You scored 11 points for your coach. You wanted the other one out of here. You scored 11 points for your coach. Bro, look, if y'all don't want to stand up for Doug, and, you know, people say, we were having a conversation during the commercial before we threw Roger's sorry ass out of here. We was having a commercial with the intelligent people in the chatty house about, like, hey, you know, because someone, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was, so my apologies for not giving them credit, but they said, you know, I don't know if you can keep Doug after what happened last night. And I asked the question, like, you sure you want to blame Doug for what happened last night? But just like every player, general manager, owner, daughter, shadowy figure, everybody gets held to the fire today. So if you want to blame Doug, you absolutely can blame Doug. They made that lineup that Dallas marched out there, that big lineup, that beat Sacramento's ass. And Doug attempted to adjust by putting Valanciunas with Domantas Sabonis in there. And what did Domas do?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing.
Well, like, what? Unless you wanted Doug to throw a magic spell out there, what could have he done? Domas, and here's the tough part. You can judge if you want to. Again, everything is fair today. If you want to judge Doug on last night's performance, perfectly fine. As long as you're willing to judge Domas on these three postseason performances, as long as you're willing to recognize we literally begged this man to shoot the ball two more times a game, not shooting 28 like DeMar did last night, not shooting 20-plus like Zach LaVine regularly does. Fam, could you get to 16 to 18 field goal attempts a night? Domas said, F off. Here's 13 shot attempts. And Brody had to work to get to those shot attempts. One of them was the one he got pissed off at everybody else about because he held the ball too damn long. Gafford was playing defense on him, and he flung it up with a second left on the shot clock. But as been customary with Domantas Sabonis at times, accountability. That, again, is everybody else's fault. I don't know what Keegan Murray's job is out on the floor in that situation, or Zach LaVine's, or DeMar DeRozan's, or Keon Ellis's, or Malik Monk's. I don't know none of their jobs, and I don't pretend to. I know one guy reacts. And I know when DeMarcus reacted away, some of y'all had something to say about it. I know when DeMarcus reacted away, there was a dude on the radio who called that man out his name over and over and over and over again. But Domas, oh, he just wants to win. Again, it's everybody else's fault. Four other guys on the floor. It's their fault, not the guy who had the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. Go back, watch games this year. I swear to God, if you bring that stupid top 10 games of the King season list back this summer.
It was 20.
We will. Oh, Jesus Christ. I will literally talk about anything you want. Other, if you want to talk about boxing.
We will then.
Every day. I won't offer much, but I'd rather
you're doing
do
a lot
that.
Right now.
Huh?
So you're doing a lot right now.
Oh, Bob, you lock it in. Clip it. Lock it in.
Again, it's not going to be a lot of conversation.
Canelo Squirrel this week.
I don't want to relive. I don't want to relive anything from this season. Absolutely nothing. But if you want to, go back. Go back and watch how many times something happens with the big fella on the offensive end. Feel the need to do this. Think Domantas Sabonis is a very good player. Think he's a quality person, too. Just feel the need to point that out. As I ask you to go back and watch these games and tell me how many times you see apologies to 1320 AM and 98.5 FM HD2. Hands up in the air. We're customary to think that's as officials. There's a play. I swear to you this happened a week or two ago. It was during Zach LaVine's little slump, whatever it was. Zach LaVine hits a back cut. Domas finds him and dunks it. I swear Domas said something to him in that play. And it might have been, that's what you do. It might have been, and that's what I'm talking. It could have been anything like that. All I know is it was demonstrative, and it was aggressive, and it was in plain sight. It's one guy on the team that does that right now, and it's him. You can do that, in my opinion, if you are an unquestionable 20-plus, 13-plus foot. If I know what I can get from you on a night-to-night basis, I you could do that. I'm this close to calling your boy's stats empty calories. Mm. Oh, God damn it. I think Bonte Hill once said that. Didn't he?
Yeah.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely.
What would you call it if he was doing this on the Hawks?
Well, it'd be empty calories. Well, all right. There it is. Domas is a goddamn Snickers bar. Who's that, Jamil?
Yes.
916-909-1320 Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up, Jamil?
I'll tell you. Hey, D-Lo, I'm on your same page, baby. I'm there with you. You know what yesterday proved to me, man? And I hear segments. I hear, in the morning radio, I was listening to a segment of Carmichael Dave, and I just kind of put all my segments together and give my own little, recipe of this. Everybody tuck tail yesterday. Doug Christie couldn't play. He gets excused. Everybody tuck tail yesterday. And with, Uncle Vivek firing Monty right afterwards was about the only thing he could do for me to even watch this team at the beginning of the year next year, because he should have did that a long time ago. You know what I mean? This is everybody tucked tail from all the way there up to the ownership. I think the team should get sold to someone who knows how to run a freaking basketball team, man. I'm just I'm livid with it. I'm livid. It's embarrassing nationally. It's just an embarrassment.
I hear you, Jamel. Team,
someone who knows what's doing. Thank you, boys. I love y'all.
Appreciate you, bro. I don't. That's not how it works. It's not happening.
I need more. I guess I need more patience and understanding in these situations.
Well, let me ask you.
It's nothing that just makes me roll my eyes more when they say somebody should sell.
No, I hear you.
Or going to sell it.
And I genuinely don't know. You do this more than I do. I don't do this at all. Do Cowboys, Drew Down, do Cowboys fans want Jerry Jones to sell the team?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
Okay, well, that's too goddamn bad. That's never happened.
It happens with Mark Davis, all this other stuff. Yeah. Like, well, it happens all the time.
Mark's a little different, but I get it.
Mark built the situation where he's making money hand over fist. Why would he sell the team?
Well, I think I can speak for Roddy. The frustration is the Oakland situation in the movie. I get it. Your point's valid. It's fine.
Might even want Vivek to sell the team. The thought process of even uttering that, no. These people aren't selling the team, at least not for these reasons, right?
Yeah.
If it became a situation where they start making money or, you know, it was a good time to get out, all this other stuff, then maybe. But I understand Jamel. Jamel, my dude, a lot of people say, like, these guys, and I know there's, like, a contract or something that's going on. I would say Vivek and any other owner would move the team before they sold
the team. What is this?
You mean a petition?
What,
a contract?
No, I think there's, like, Carmichael Redacted has mentioned, like, I don't think they can move the team for 20 years or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But he'll wait 20 years.
Is that his name?
And then move. That's what they said in the chat.
Oh, okay.
That's
you guys will never guess who we're referring to.
Redacted Dave is pretty funny, too.
Redacted Dave is funny. That's a good one.
But yeah, like, these guys, this team would be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with Vivek as the owner before he sold the team.
Yeah.
So I understand it. It's just, I need more money. I need to win the lottery. All right. Yeah, that would be great. It's not happening.
Man, you need more money. What a slap in the face to us working people.